A Problem Shared with Tony McGinley on Kerry Today.
Yeah, Tony McGinley with us on the line with A Problem Shared. Tony, good morning to you and thanks very much for joining me on the programme.
And a very good morning to you, Jerry.
Tony, we're going to start with a query this morning. It says, over the last few years, I've come to dislike myself. Everyone I know thinks that I'm a happy-go-lucky person. The problem is my partner. My family adores my partner, and he knows this. He says that I'm paranoid. The truth is, as long as I agree to everything he says and decides, and I don't voice my own opinion or express my own feelings, then all is perfect. My children seem happier around him than they are around me. This is a very difficult one.
It is a very difficult one. And, you know, you have to analyse that a wee bit. And even then, you wouldn't come to a direct conclusion. It sounds to me as if this person is somewhat depressed and depressed about themselves. If you take an attitude, and we all take attitudes at times, and if that attitude goes on and on and on, and we amplify it a bit here and there, it tends to grow. And that's what sounds like might be happening here. Now, what sticks out to me in this letter is that the parents, her parents, are happy with her partner, and the children seem to like, as she says here, the children seem to be happier around him than me. Now, those two factors sort of say a lot to me as well, because if, you know, children are not easily fooled by charmers. You know, they will initially, you know, take whatever gifts or presents, and but they don't usually over time be taken in by charmers. So it sounds as if, he sounds okay to me by that definition. And that then would point to this person, and I would say to myself, there has to be something not right there. So, and of course, by saying that, every one of us on this planet has something slightly twitchy about us. You know, there's no perfect human beings except maybe the prophets of God or whatever, you know, but there are no perfect human beings. So this person sounds to me as if as if she is somewhat depressed. And if you are a little bit depressed, it doesn't have to be major clinical depression. If you're a little bit depressed, your view on life, on everything around you, is shaded. It's like having a window with loads of colour fogging on it. It colours everything that comes through that window. And it sounds to me as if this person might just be that little bit depressed. But
Are you saying then, Tony, that can colour every aspect of their life? They feel that, you know, my family prefer my partner to me. I've come to dislike myself. My children prefer spending time with him. That is just seeping into every aspect. It's a negative view of oneself.
It definitely sounds like that to me. Now, I could be wrong, and this could be a completely different story. But there are three things, as you just outlined there, Jerry, pointing to the fact that this person, that there's something not ticking properly inside in their brain. And it could be, you know, all right, the partner mightn't be perfect, but he mightn't be as bad as, you know, perceived by her. And what I would say to somebody like that is to go to your doctor, or if you have access to a good psychologist, go to the psychologist and explain what's going on and see what they say. Now, you won't be open to it, because, you know, most people who are a little bit depressed like that, oh, there's nothing wrong with me, I'm fine, all the rest of them are, you know, dislocated, I'm fine. And it's unfortunately the way our brains work, that when we're in that sort of state, we tend to blame everybody but ourselves. But that would be my advice for her, to have a good, if you can communicate well with your doctor. And that's what a good doctor in my book is one that communicates well. I mean, there might be geniuses on on pharmacology or whatever, you know, diagnosis and so on. But if they're not good communicators, they're not good doctors. But if you have a doctor that you tend to communicate well with, have a good chat with them or her and see what they come up with.
That's a really good. Is there one area of concern from what this caller says about my partner says I'm paranoid? The truth is, as long as I agree with everything he says and decides, and I don't voice my own opinion or express my feelings, then all is perfect. That if what happens when she does, is there a row? Is there a fight? Is there maybe some level of control going on in behalf of the partner? Does she need to examine that, Tony, in the context of why she feels that way?
Yes, and he needs to examine how he responds, because, you know, we all respond differently. If you say, Tony, you're a right idiot, I remember just laugh, but if you kept saying that to me over time, I'd begin to react. And communication is a two-way tool. It works from both sides. So yes, it's definitely he should look at himself and ask himself a few questions and into how he responds when she's maybe a bit negative or whatever. But it would help if he responded neutrally and not aggressively. That would be, you know, very helpful.
Yeah, that would be. That's something to look at. Okay, Tony, we're on to a new query coming from listener. I feel the cold and the weather affects me a great deal. Well, they're certainly going to be affected a lot at the moment anyway, that's for sure. The problem is my wife is all about conserving heating costs. She keeps the house at quite a low temperature. She doesn't mind it, but it really gets right into my bones and I feel miserable. I've said it to her many times, but no avail. How do I deal with this situation?
This is a slightly different communication problem. There's one way you could sort of do it. It's a sort of going around in circles way, but, you know, change how you dress. Buy insulated jackets, insulated shorts, long johns and so on and so forth, and wear really warm clothes in the house. Now, if you go OTT a little bit on that, she'll begin to notice and start making remarks. And that's where you could then begin to get the message across.
There's a reason why I'm doing this. There's a reason why I have to wear four jumpers, because you've the heating down too low.
Exactly. And, you know, if we all respond to heat differently. I'm quite happy at about 18 or 19 degrees. And some people are actually freezing at that, you know. And, you know, we all, again, our health, our age affects our dependence on heat. And, you know, if this chap is, you know, up in his 70s or 80s, he might be just feeling more cold because of his age. But again, you know, there are two responses to heating. One is to warm up the house or insulate it or whatever. The other is to warm up yourself. And it's the easier of the two, and it was the only one available to humanity for the last 1,000 years until this century, really, that we've now got houses that are 20-odd degrees. And, it would be, as I say, very, very helpful for him to... there's some fantastic clothing available nowadays. Insulated shorts. I mean, I got one recently, and it's fabulous. It's sort of insulated on the inside, but it was a kind of a furry effect, and it's very, very warm. So if you get some of these sort of clothes and start wearing them, that'll ease your mind and take you away from, you know, the conflict that's going on here. So the other one then is to try and communicate a little bit more gently, because we tend to sort of, you know, the bloody house is freezing, and that creates that sort of tone of voice and that sort of approach. It generates a similar response in the other person, so that there's a negative overall response. So by avoiding that, would be helpful.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant, Tony. Thanks a million for talking to us again this week. Get your questions and queries in for Tony McGinley for next week for A Problem Shared.